You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we're continuing with our series of Shirim on the Unknowable Head on the Sugya of Reshad Lo Asyada, and in particular with regards to the practical application of the understanding of Reshad Lo Asyada in our own lived experiences. Because as we've described, that whenever the Arizal discusses the world of Reshad Lo Asyada, that unknowable place, at which point the infinite expresses itself in the finitude that we experience, and that place of faith where our ability to know and our ability to grasp is shattered over and over, revealing that it is always just one perpetual surrender of faith, l'mal mitam v'das, into that place of not knowing, but continuing to choose derech amun b'charti. In order to understand that place of Reshad Lo Asyada, we have to understand that Malchus is Gonuz b'Reshad Lo Asyada, that Malchus, which is our experience, the time, space, self-orientation through which we encounter existence, that is our Malchus. That is the lowest application of the process of spiritual expression as it descends down and congeals somewhat into a shape that can be experienced by a concealed mind like our own. That place of Malchus, that place that already begins to appear to operate in impoverishment, in a place of emptiness, the leis lam megar miklum, that it has nothing of its own. It's the place of Ragleha Yardu Mavis, the place of David HaMelech, the place of boredom, the place of meaninglessness, the place of Ulai, the place of perhaps, the place of anxiety, the Ilana Desveka, that tree of doubt, that place outside of Gan Eden, yet trying to get back into Gan Eden, that place that can be elevated back up to the loftiest place, to the Malchus de Ein Sof, which then expresses itself in the Malchus de Akudim, and then it expresses itself in the Malchus de Atzilus, which then becomes the Keser of Bria, and then it becomes the Malchus of Bria, which is the Keser of Yitzir, and the Malchus of Yetzirah, which is the Keser of Asiya, down to the Malchus to Malchus to Asiya that dangles over in death. This place of Malchus is in truth rooted in the Reshad Lo Asyada. It's rooted in the highest point at which we come to terms with the fact that Mati v'loy Mati, if I'm going to touch this, it has to also be with the simultaneous awareness that while I'm touching it, I'm not touching it, because any attempt at touch, any attempt at grasp is ultimately the attempt at measurement and limitation and graspability. And while that is the impulse at the heart of all individuals to grasp something, nevertheless, the thing that we grasp is that we can't grasp it. That the tachlus is emuna, derech emuna b'charti. I've chosen the path of faith above and beyond the path of chachma, above and beyond the path of knowability. It's the tmimus that exists far beyond the world of chachma. Chachma says one can grasp. Chachma says one can have some point of established grasp and situatedness and authentic, 100% unadulterated authenticity. That notion leads a person down a path of trying to really, really, really situate themselves and uncover the core of themselves and the core of the core and the core of the core, stripping away all of the layers in the hopes of finding some residue of some actuality of self, while in truth, everything stands upon emuna, everything stands upon nothingness, tola eretz al blima. And so instead of the path of chachma, which seeks graspability and it seeks to know something with certitude, to know a ma, to know what something is made out of, what we do is we recognize that malchus, which is our experience with existence, we bring it back not to a place of knowability and chachma, but all the way back to the place of unknowability and keser. That at the loftiest points of keser, the point where the system becomes blurry, not because there's something wrong with the system and not because there's something wrong with the perceiver of the system, but because the perception, the tools of perception are simply incapable. Capable of grasping that place which is ungraspable, that infinite place, that infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is always already a secondary expression from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, which remains completely turned away from any graspability in language. It's always revealed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol lev atzmo is everywhere at every moment in the secret of leis aser paniminei and kula kaima kiloi chashiva and loi chashiva. The entire question is with regards to graspability. Can the human being grasp this? Can the human being put this into words? Can the human being lay claim to having conquered this horizon of experience so that it then becomes processed as some human experience limiting it, or when the human being feels that it's something so profoundly beyond, then the human being simply pretends to begin to have the capacity of reaching beyond. Either way you strike it, the notion that a person can have an absolute grasp of anything in this world, anything, because at the core of all things is the secret of Or Ein Sof, is to be rooted in a place of Chachma, is to see Malchus as being limited to a place of Chachma, and I'm working my way back from ignorance towards knowledge. But when we abstract the desire to find ourselves in Chachma, and we allow ourselves to realize that in the end of the day, Derech Amuna Bacharti, everything is rooted in the ultimate faithful choice to choose to live in accordance with the principles that I have been born with, and that I encounter through the traditional development of the Das of Moshe, my own experience through my own micro and macro systems, the choice to choose that, the choice of Derech Amuna Bacharti, to receive the Torah in Shushan Habira, in the place of doubts. In the place of Matan Torah is a place of certainty. To receive the Torah from a place of certainty is the secret of the Malachim, Nasa V'Nishma. There's nothing that I'm not going to do because I know absolutely that this is the only thing that there is to do, so whatever I do is what I'm doing. But in the place of Purim, in the place of Nahar Ulai that surrounds Purim, and the questioning and the doubt, as we're going to see, in that place, we have to come on to a recognition that I'm going to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shushan Habira itself, not at Har Sinai, but specifically from a place of Keser, Lamala from Chachma. Chachma is the perspective of knowledge. That's Matan Torah. Keser, the Or of Purim, which is a Hitznoitzit, so it says, the Mekubalim point out, of Reshad Lo Asyada, in the day itself, that it's the place of unknowability, we recognize that all of our quest for knowledge, while it is fundamental to the spiritual Avoida, and it's the fundamental orientation of the self, in the end of the day, Tachlis Ayadiyah Shalaneda, I don't know anything. And then I can learn to be more playful and grasp and grip reality with a softer touch. I don't have to demand full access. I don't have to demand uncontrolled control. I have to accept upon myself the limits of my control. As a human being, I'm a malchistic mensch. I live in a place of leis lamagam meklum, and I'm not trying to recover or recapture some original truth that was there previously that I've lost as the result of some inequity or symptoms of my own behavior, but rather the malchus and the questionability of malchus and the not knowing of malchus and the choice orientation in malchus and the concealment of Malchus is reflective of, in truth, the highest point at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, which is the unknowability of it. Now, we don't not try and grasp the unknowability of it, as we discussed last week. Once we realize that it's unknowable, we don't say, okay, let's wipe our hands clean from the desire to know. El Adraba, we wash Natilas Yadayim again and again, realizing that what I came to know previously is considered as death in relationship to what I can know in the next moment. As they say about Rav Aaron Belzer, that every moment he remembered he was alive, he washed Natilas Yadayim again, because the awareness that I don't know anything and I'll never know anything does not lead one necessarily to the hopelessness of the encounter with the attempt to know, but rather it illuminates every attempt at knowing and the process of knowing with a light of not knowing, a playfulness at the heart of the seriousness, the revelation of the playfulness of it all, the fact that in the end of the day it's a joke and I can't know anything, and it's Reshad Lo Asyada, and all of existence is rooted in that place of the Schoik HaElyon, which is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. And ultimately a person has no graspability of anything. That playfulness, that can bring about a late sunnis. It can bring about a destructive form of laughter that looks at meaning and it scoffs at it. It's this Zarathustrian laughter, lahavdil, or the schoikak seal in Mishle, that laughs at meaning because meaning is ungraspable. And it says, denounce the path towards meaning because meaning will never be grasped. And it lives in a nihilistic perspective of nothingness. Yiddishkeit is the polar opposite of it. It's the encounter with the joke. It's recognizing the keser that's lamala from the chachma, the not knowing that always exists beyond even the highest level of knowledge. And instead of saying, let me let go of Chachma, God forbid, and let me let go of the attempt to know, it says, let me try and know every single thing available, more and more and more. Chazara, 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 learning the daf once, twice, three times, four times, correspondent to the four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud Kei, Vav Kei, learning not 100 times, but 101 times, being a baki in kol HaTorah Kula, in every area of one's orientation of Chachma and Bina and the Chinuch, in accordance with their own derech. Each and every person demands that ferocious attempt to know something in one way or the other. The only difference is that every attempt at knowing, every attempt at grasp is also illuminated with the grasplessness, the inability of grasping something. So I'm holding it, but I'm not fully holding it. It's a tefach sochik. My fingers are still in a fist position, but nevertheless, they're expanded as we've spoken about so often. I'm no longer only operating in the chachma perspective of needing to hold something tightly and not reveal it to anyone else, because the moment I know something and someone else knows something, then from the perspective of scarcity where I can grasp something, so that either takes away from me or gives that person more than I have. And I don't want to do that from a possession of possess from a position of possession and possessiveness that's oriented towards Chachma when it's seen in relationship to Keser. Light of Keser says, no, you can grasp, you can attempt to grasp, you must attempt to grasp. You have to come back to the attempt at knowledge, to grow into knowledge, but the apex of knowledge is perpetually to come to know that I can't know. And therefore I'm touching but not touching at the same time. I'm mati v'loy mati. And the way the way that we experience this, the way that we experience this in life, which is a real mechanism of the secret of the fact that Malchus is rooted in Reshad Lo Was Yada, and as we're going to see, the very nature of Reshad Lo Was Yada is a concept that contains within itself the reality of doubt. So by coming to terms and trying to understand how we can orient the truth of where doubt comes from and all of the not knowing comes from, when we can try and orient ourselves towards the source of it, then we can learn how to better grapple with it as it expresses itself in our lives. Because generally speaking, when we look at the notion of doubt, when we look at the notion of suffix, we find ourselves face to face with the arch nemesis of spirituality, which is Amalek. Amalek, we're told, is the gematria. It's the same numerical value of suffix. It's the gematria of 240. And Amalek, as the arch nemesis, which, as the Ishbitzer Tzadikim point out, is always tied up in accordance with whatever it is that the Jewish people need to do at that very moment. Amalek is like anxiety. It is formless. It is a formless energy, so to speak, that can adapt itself into any externalized casing that is necessary to push the person off of their game in that moment. Unlike fear, which is something that is identifiable, and as such, I am able to develop a plan of action to reduce the likelihood or the possibility of that fear, which theoretically should alleviate the fear. Anxiety is fear without an object. It's a formless form that can attend and apply itself to each and every circumstance. So whatever the question or the thing and in this moment is the thing that I'm anxious about. So too, when it comes to Amalek, Kavyachol, that Amalek is ultimately adaptable. It is the adaptability to find the point of chisaron, to find the point of deficiency, not a healthy form of deficiency, but a negation, a nihilistic destruction of meaning. Amalek finds itself at every moment. Wherever the Jewish people find themselves, there is going to be a nekuda of Amalek there, which is why, in accordance with the amount of Svarim HaKadoshim there are, so too are there descriptions of what Amalek is. Amalek is this trait, it's that trait, it's this perspective, it's that perspective. And one can look at this and say, okay, this is ridiculous. What is Amalek? Is Amalek anything? And if so, why? There's so many different parameters and descriptions of what Amalek is. Or a person can understand the innermost point of Amalek, which is that Amalek appears as each and every person's nekuda of chisaron. Each and every person has their own particular point of difficulty where A, their avoda rests, and B, the possibility of yeyush or momentary yeyush seems to exist. So it is the mixed bag of experience. It is that gnarly point of the connectivity between the Eitz Hadas Tovara. It's the Lahat Acherav HaMisapeches. There's always that Nekuda HaBechira, which is the bridge, the boundary line between the infinite realms of our experience or the refined realms of our experience and the difficult realms of our experience. This is the partition, the Mesach that separates the world of Atzilus and Bri Yetzirah Nasiyah in each and every person's world. And in that place, by definition, because it's a border and it occupies the space of both territories, it is not determined as to which territory it truly belongs to. Because is it to this side or is it to that side? Is it to the place of knowing or is it to the place of not knowing? And because it's betwixt and between and caught up in the middle, so it always appears in a state of doubt. It's undecided. And each and every person has that point of undecidability in their heart. This is the nekuda of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, that point of not knowing whether it's good or bad, where both options are equally possible, in this place is the birth of doubt. Doubt is not when it's 90% this or 10% that. There's an element of doubt. But true doubt, as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva, is ultimately where it appears to be equal. It appears to be undetermined. There's no determinant point outside of the system. Therefore, the determination needs to come from a place of mineyu bei, the settling of the doubt, which is not going to come from something outside of the doubt itself. It's going to come from the doubt itself. That's the secret of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, which the tzaddikim of Ishbitz and Radzin referred to as the Ilana Desveika, the tree of doubt. Because to be in this world is to be caught up in doubt, because that's the secret of Bechira. By definition, there needs to be an equal, impossible, paradoxical, sustained, dialectical balance at the very same moment of concealment and revelation, so as to create the perfect, nearly razor sharp edge territory of Bechira, the biggest nace in the world, that there can be a notion of undecidability, that there can be a notion of I am the one who is going to determine the outcome. It's undetermined, and I am going to be the one who determines the valence in which I bring reality, as the Rambam says. Every person has to look at themselves with each action having their inner reality depending upon the next action. Everything perpetually stands in a state of undecidability. And the amount of tzimtzum and precision of tzimtzum kavyachol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to enact in order to create this playing field, what the Baal HaTanya refers to as the dir b'tachtoin imamish, l'choshech kafol u'mechupol, the hastara shebetoicha hastara, the oylem hazeh hanosin b'mei hanachash, all of those terms from all of our tzaddikim represent the singular truth that it is a place of Bechira, where a person can seemingly choose to go against the absolute Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the biggest Yerida imaginable, because the biggest truth in all of reality, the only thing that gives shape to reality, is the secret of HaVadai Shemo Kein Tilaso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainty. Certainty is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a certainty beyond provability. There is a certainty that does not need proof to it, because it is the certainty of certainty. It is the certainty of choice. Derech Hamuna Bacharti. And the Yerida from that place of certainty into the place of ulai, of not knowing, the lahat acher v'misapeches, is it now, is it now, is it now, is it now? Where is the sword? It's spinning so quickly that it appears to be multiple swords. I'm not sure where the actual blade of the sword is. All of the undecidability that emerges into a person's life, the anxiety that breathes its poisonous air, or its polluted air rather, into the kind of fresh air that we're trying to breathe into our lives, all is a result of this ilana desveka, this ilana desveka. And this ilana desveka represents itself in a person's life as we descend away from the ideality of our lives, as we fall into unconsciousness, forgetfulness, trauma, etc., the conditions of what it means to be human, the reason why we say noyach lo la'adam shalo never yoter mishanever, the difficulty of it all, the assertion of it all, when push comes to shove, that original kernel of doubt, which was emergence from the birthplace of Bechira, finds itself expressed in the symptoms of difficulty, of concealment, of a malik, of not knowing, of being destabilized in this moment, of not being able to connect, of not being able to say yes to myself, of not knowing what the truth is in a way that it boggles my mind to prevent me from continuing, of not knowing what that person desires from me. All of those places of doubt, not knowing where Hashem is in my life, not knowing where I stand in relationship to Hashem, not knowing where I stand in relationship to my Amunah, not knowing where I stand in relationship to anything at all, not knowing anything, not even knowing that I don't know anything. All of the doubts and all of the confusion, the doubts that hit a person in the moment of tefillah, the doubt that hits a person in the moment of Torah, the doubt that hits a person in the moment of interpersonal relationship, of professionalism, of reality itself, that the doubts are basically the baseline in which a person experiences reality. As Rav Simchon Shmuel Hirsch says, this is why Chazal had to recognize that the biggest tool that we have in reality is rov, the svara of majority, because the attempt to base something on absolute certainty is a failed process. And what that gives birth to is the struggle of the human experience, that I don't know. If I knew, it would be okay. If I knew, it would be okay. If I knew, I would do this. If I knew, I would do that. But ultimately, because I don't know how to act. And as a result of not having to act, I remain stuck in the position of needing to act, but not acting, or wanting to act, but not needing to act. And in that splitness of experience where I've partook of the true splitness of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, I'm never unified with myself. And if I'm not unified with myself, then I can't fully grasp the fact that I'm still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if it were before the Tzimtzum, that Moyech of Yichud Ilah, where I recognize that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol. Everything operates within the space of HaVadai Shemo Kein Tehillaso. And yes, how we understand Tzimtzum and the fact that not everything is identifiable, God forbid, with the infinite, not everything is identifiable with godliness, God forbid, which is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, what we must affirm over and over is the fact that everything is saturated by and surrounded by and maintained within the invisibility and the infinitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Atzmusayas Baruch Kavyachol that exists beyond any graspability, that place of Emunah. But when Safek attacks a person, it creates the existential difficulty of this world, of death and life, of all of the splitness in existence. And that's where a malik attacks. That's where a malik cools a person off in their avodah. That's where a malik takes a person out of themselves. That's where a malik says, I can't understand. I'll never understand. And I don't know, because I thought something else yesterday. Now I'm thinking something else now about this reality. And if I'm thinking two things, it means that both of them are untrue. And clearly I know absolutely nothing. And a person falls into the sway of the difficult exile of the self when it no longer maintains a sense of certainty, or when it feels overcome by doubt. All the more so when a person doesn't know how to live with doubt, when a person has not yet cultivated the tools through Panimiyas HaTorah to look at doubt in a new lens, to see doubt not as a lens of the descent away from certainty, but rather doubt as something which is the self-assertion of certainty, something that is so certain it can also operate in a state of doubt. A person now begins to search out some externalized form of certainty in their lives. And this is really ultimately the pathways that deviate away from the spiritual quest and find themselves in the operant lanes of addiction and all of the difficult addictions of the mind, the spirit, the body, God forbid, where a person is seeking out certainty. A person who lives cut through with doubt, can't handle the doubt, can't handle the splitness or the duplicitous nature of reality in the day-to-day, and therefore they seek out some externalized form of vada'ut. Now, yes, in truth, havadei shemo kein tilaso, but that place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's certitude, as we've said, is ultimately tied up in our relationship to it by way of doubt, which is what we call emuna. So the mind, because it wants something that it can know certainly as certain, instead of just some certain thing that I could only know through an uncertain way, which is the relationship that we have to emuna, the mind begins to search out certifiable certainties, things in this world where I can test them, I can feel their experience on me, I can have them clarify pathways, I can have them clear away all of the thicket, whether it be people, places, things, ideas, notions, objects, substances, whatever it is that a person places their self on at the sacrifice for the sake of some externalized form of certainty. That's what happens when a person doesn't know how to live with suffik. Because if suffik is simply a symptom of a malik and not something that is baked into the very fabric of existence from the get-go and not idealized way, so then my entire life is going to be a way of evading doubt and trying to find certainty. And ultimately, the only way to draw certainty into a world that is a world of doubt, that is an alma de sveika, that is an ilana de sveika, that is just a hava mina, as Rav Simcha Bunim Pshischa says, so then a person would need to find external forms of certainty which become avodah zarah's addictions, v'chule. And so there's nothing more redemptive than what the Arizal teaches us in relationship to doubt, because it's also through this that we learn how to be mamtik and to erase amalik, because amalik is just doubt that is waiting to be redeemed. It's the reality of a doubt that needs to be led back up to the place of knowledge and graspability, where doubt is no longer something that is hated or despised, preventing a thorn in my mind's ability to grasp, and rather it becomes a mechanism through which I double down and intensify the process of emuna and derech emuna b'charti. And that's going to be the place of suffik being not the secret of a malik, but rather suffik being the secret of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in such a way that it's mamtik a malik in its source. When we discussed the nature of Reish Lo Asyada, we said that ultimately Reish Lo Asyada is the upper part of Keser, that Keser, which is split into two parts of Ufim, because Keser is always Aniva Ayin Bavasa Achas, it's the ability to reveal itself as the lowest of the higher level or the highest of the lower level, the interchangeability between the two and the porous boundaries between the two, because it's Echad Shushtaim, it's two that it's one, and it's one that reveals itself as two, and then the two reverts back to one to intensify the intensity of one, to move back into the two-ness of it, to reveal another further revelation that it's one, but ultimately they appear as two. And so these two dargin are Atik and Arich, Atik Yoimin and Arich Anpin. Arich Anpin, starting from the bottom up, is the Keser of the lower worlds. It is the lower element of Keser, where it begins to be the beginning of a new world. It's the highest point at which a person now begins to build from the top down, as opposed to Atik Yoimin, which is the lowest part of the higher world, which in relationship to the lower world or the previous experience is considered as if it's infinite, as the Vilna Gaon points out. So that place of Atik Yoimin is Malchus de Ein Sof Kavyachol, that the Arizal is Masbir, we spoke about in the 42nd Shar in Eitz Chaim. In that place, in Atik Yoimin, it is a different parts of, and that place of Atik Yoimin is the Reshid Lo Asyada. That's the unknowable head. We spoke about the three Moichin. The first one is the Reshid Lo Asyada, which is Atik Yoimin, and then the two knowable heads, the knowable experiences of process, are the two heads of Arich Anpin, which were going to be the Gulgalta, which is the Chochma of Arich Anpin, the Keser of Arich Anpin, rather, which is the mind's ability to grasp the Avira Dachya in a real graspable way, the mati, the touching, as we discussed last week. And then at the same point, the moichas tima'a, which is the source of the butzina de kardunusa, which is the lo mati, and that secret of not grasping. But above those two moichin is the moich of Atik Yoimin, which is Reshid Lo Asyada. Now, when it comes to orienting ourselves towards how the partsufim are built, and Be'ezras Hashem in the future, we'll get to these sugyos, but ultimately, when there was undecidability, and there was chaos, and there was olam atohu, and all of the shvira, and all of the traumas that come about as a result of not knowing what is mine or what the other person's is, and living in a place of doubt, and therefore living from a perspective of scarcity and wanting everything for myself, which is the secret of shvira, which is ana emluch, I'll take everything, because ultimately I'm afraid of giving somebody else something, because that means I'll lose and they'll have more, so it gives birth to jealousy and scarcity. scarcity and hunger and craving, etc., which is the secret of Olam HaTohu, that there was a fear that gave birth to a perspective of scarcity, which develops into a sense of arrogance and a sense of self-centeredness that comes from a place of fear rather than confidence, which is one of the elements of the application of Olam HaTohu into our own experiences. And then there was the Olam HaTikun, which is the Binyan HaPartzufim, where all of those broken parts that fell down, the Oros, Nitzotzot, and Kelim, the shattered pieces, the residual lights of infinitude that continue to exist and animate those shattered pieces, and the in-between space that connects both of them, because everything is composed of these three elements. There's the place of one side, the other side, and then the middle side, the middle, which connects both of them, because it's the Mamutza, like we spoke about, the nature of Keser, the nature of Reshit Lo Yada, which can express itself above in the place of Ayin, and below in the place of Ani, below in the place of Ani, and above in the place of Ayin, in certainty and doubt as well. And so in the development of these partsufim, all of these smaller pieces and shattered points kind of gather themselves back together through the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it creates new formations, new systems that can balance the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals with the kelim of receptivity, where the human being can continue to live with some suspended form of awareness of concealment, in spite of the fact that there's a point of desire which knows that there's no concealment. So the allowance of the world of Bechira. In the development of the parts of Atik Yoimin, specifically the Nukva da Atik Yoimin, as described in the Drush Hadas and as described by Arichus in Shar HaTikun and in Shar Arich Anpin Perek Aleph in Eitz Chaim, what we find is that by the binyan of the Nukva, the Atik Yoimin, which is really the highest point of orientation, the Malchus of the higher world, that place of Reshid Loas Yada, so Rav Chaim Vital does not remember. He does not remember. He's Mesupak. He's in a state of doubt as to what he heard from his Rebbe, what he heard from the Arizal in terms of the rules and the details of how this world came into being, the highest point of Keser, how that develops in ontology and the shape of the worlds, and more importantly for us, how it operates within our own experience, where it operates within our own mind, where there's this place of Reshid Lo Asyada, which is the only way to elevate and bring back the experience of Malchus and its emptiness back to its true place. And so Rav Chaim Vital seems to say that there are many doubts. There's five doubts. And Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern Shlita and a Maimer in Tafshin Ayin in Yam HaChachma, Maimer Lahaspia B'tzachsechais Nafshecha, goes through every doubt, goes through every Shita and all the doubts, goes through all of the comments made about the doubts. And not only that, but takes all of the prehistory of these doubts and transforms them into a place of being Megala Pnimiya Satora in a way that only Rabbi Nachman was Megala, where it takes all of the concealment and all of the difficulty and all of the secondary questions and gasps and grasps at knowledge, which the Rebbe sees in the sugyos of the Sveikos Dereshid Lo Asyada, and transforms them into the secret of Geula, into the secret of Yeshin Yan Sheyitapecha Kol, where all of those five doubts are in one way or another, as the Rebbe points out in the third chelik of that mimer, how all of them orient us to a das of Geula, which is where Adarabba Ipcha Mestabra, in truth, what I thought is not ultimately true, and what I thought was higher is in truth lower, and what I thought is lower is in truth higher, and it's the Moichin of Purim, and it's the Moichin of Venahapuchu, and the destabilization of knowledge, the movement away from that graspability of Chachma, which is the Tefach Oitzev, which is the sad fist that tries to grasp everything with absolute certainty and power. And it's the ascendancy from Chachma back to Keser, from Chachma back to Tmimus, which is the open grasp, which is I'm still grasping, I'm still trying to live with Chachma, I'm still living with the knowledge that I can continue to know, but at this point it's a Tefach Sochek. I'm laughing at it because I ultimately know that I'll know nothing, and I'll ultimately come to knowing nothing more and more and more. And so each of these five sfeikos represent the transformation of what we conceive as difficult and the struggle in this world, and being revealed as in truth the meeting point where we uncover our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ourselves and existence, all of which are tied into the secret of Olamos, Neshamos, Elokus, worlds, godliness, and the self itself, which are the three parts that are always being connected. Like we said, there's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the self, and there's the in-between, which is going to be the Neshamos. There's the worlds, there's God, and then there's the Neshama, which is the Mechuber that comes to reveal how both of them are inherently connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so these sveikos in the Eitz Chaim are seemingly very practical sugyos, very practical, mathematical, detailed sugyos that a person has to be holding in all of the different iterations of the Yitzhiros de Ma and the Yitzhiros de Ben and all of the Chiburim, as all of the Tzadikim point out. The Pesche Sharim has an Arichas Sanit, the Rashash brings it, and Haktamas Rechav Sanar, the Arizal, Utzer Shchaim brings it. It's fundamental to the Limud. The Ramchal questions why we have to know every detail of each iteration of the Shvira itself, and he explains that it's only when applied to the experiential process of how do these true ideas, which I don't have grasp of express themselves in my world, only then can we grasp why we have to know all of these details. But ultimately, it brings us into the secret of developing ourselves out of the trauma of Shira and becoming the people that we are through the process of Tikkun and Binyan HaPartzufim. And surprisingly, at the loftiest point of it, rather than finding certainty, we find doubts of Rav Chaim Vital. Now, it's understandable if we start with certainty and then come down into doubt. Everything that starts with a bang eventually descends down into a slowness before it begins again. But to start with doubt is seemingly the opposite position. To start with unknowability and then to work to ideas that are knowable as we get to the lower partsufim seems to be a very strange adraba ipcha mistabra type of Purim moment of v'nahapoichu. And again, it's over here where we're going to learn how to be moichik amalik, the suffik of amalik, which takes us away from ourselves. We're going to learn how to fight it at its own game and be Mamtik Suffolk with Suffolk, and to reveal how the true power of Suffolk is that it's rooted in the loftiest place of Reshit Lois Yada. After describing all of these sfeikos, all of these five sfeikos, which correspond to the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kabyachol, so what Rav Chaim Vital writes is as follows, Klal Ha'oile, that which ascends from all of this, L'zeh Shesibas Kol Eilu HaSfeikos, as a result of all of these doubts, this unknowability that I have with regards to how this parts of Atik Yoimin of Reshit Lo Yada emerged, Nikra Atik Yoimin, this parts of Atik Yoimin, that which is removed from my knowledge, is referred to as Reshit Lo Yada, the unknowable head, Ki Ein Noide Ma Bechinas Yeshbo, because we simply don't know, I don't remember, I'm a supak of what I heard from my Rebbe with regards to what it is, the very fabric that makes up that shape of experience with regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation in the world, I simply don't know. I don't know what's there. V'hine Yeshaya HaNavi, like we said last week, Yeshaya HaNavi, Alev HaShalom, also had these sfeikos, meaning to say these are not secondary sfeikos, these are ontological sfeikos that are appeared in Nevuah itself. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, which is why there is an Eitz Hadas Tovara, which is the secret of Ilana Deseka, to allow the individual to learn what it means to be besafek, and then the existence of Torah Sheval Peh, which is the light of Purim, is the process of learning through sveikos, kunshas of sveik sveika and takfu kohen and all of the halachos of the bearer of Suffolk and the lumdus of Suffolk. All of this is the process of refining the sveikos of Amalek and bringing us back up to the Suffolk, the Kedushas we're going to see. And Rav Chaim Vital says, Yeshaya HaNavi also had this Suffolk, which was the pasuk of the Hispia B'tzachsechos Nafshecha, that I will satisfy you in the thirst of your soul. And as we said, that doesn't mean that there will be a satisfaction to the thirst, but rather the thirst will be the satisfaction, because ultimately there is no processing fully of these doubts of Reshit Lo Yada. And even though there will be clarification on each gradational level, nevertheless, it will always remain unknown in relation to the next level. So yes, there are Meforshim who imply that these doubts of Reshit Lo Yada are going to be resolved, which would seemingly imply that doubt will not always have a role to play in spiritual experience and existence. But at the very same moment with the Klal Ha'erchan and relativity from Rabbeinu HaRashash, which says that everything operates in its own system, yet with the very same relative orientation to terms and conditions, so then there will always be an element of unknowability. So Suffolk will always be part of the process, because obviously Kedushasi Lamalami Kedushasechem, and a person can again never come to a place of full knowability. But it's not at the surrender of knowability, it's the knowability of unknowability. It's the Mativ Loi Mativ Vasachas, it's the Noiga Ve'enu Noiga, touching and not touching, knowing by way of doubt, not doubting whether I know, but knowing by way of doubt, as we're going to see. And after describing all of these sveikos, Rav Chaim Vital says, "Yesh oid sveikos bego velo zachisi b'hem," and there are more sveikos, and I've not been zoicha to them yet. Meaning, adraba ipcha mistaber, the Ramchal jumps on this. All of the Meforshim jump on this. The Toimel Chaim Zachu, they say, "I understand the reality of doubt, but there are doubts that I have to be meritorious of. That I should be meritorious of a secret of doubt." So from here is the birthplace of all of the sugyos, of all of the tzaddikim who are masbir the sugya of the sveikos de Reshit Lo Yada. And with one makor, what we'll look at is in Pesach Pei Vav, which is the gematria of Elohim in the Klach Pesach Chochma from Rabbeinu HaRamchal. In his base medrash, we see over here that the Ramchal is the one who orients us, and the Leshem brings us, and the Kashan Samagad brings us, and the Baal HaSulam brings us, and the Leshem, like we said, brings this, and Rav Kook spoke about this infinitely, and Rav Chalap speaks about this, and another speaks about this, and Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Lubavitcher Tzaddikim speak about it, and the Rashash and the Gra speaks about this. All of the Tzaddikim speak about this place of Suffolk. Kol Minei Achiburim, all of these connections between the parts that make up the Partsufim, between the trauma and the healing from the trauma, one can find. All possibilities exist above. And in accordance with the possibilities that exist above, each and every one of them are true. Va'al pi kulam hu hanhaga ha'ikari tana elemes. And in accordance with every one of those possibilities, those undetermined possibilities of connectivity, of formation, all of them operate in that place. And according to them is how the fundamental concealment of reality continues to exist. There are some oppositional forms, and there are some forms that appear to be in opposition to another one. And nevertheless, all of them exist, because when it comes to the forms and the modes of engagement that we have in this reality through the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the two connectivity and the connection between those two points creates a hanhaga. And in accordance with the way that that way is functioning, the balance at that point is functioning, is going to be how the reality is. But ultimately, what the Ramchal is going to continue to be masbir is that it's not that when one exists, the other doesn't exist, but they all operate at the very same time. It's a din suffik. It's not a suffik because I don't know whether it's A or B. It's a suffik because it's always A and B at the same time. When suffik descends down here, it's because it's either A or B and I don't know what. And if I can't find hachra'a, then I have to blindly act in that place of difficulty and the existential quandary of never knowing anything. But in the place of the elevated space of sveikos d'reisha lo'as yada, over there, it's elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This and that is both true. The question and the miracle is how tzimtzum takes place to allow hanhaga and our experience to be true in accordance with one thing. But the one thing is never in opposition to its opposite, because the opposite is always the hither side of the thing itself, because that unity of keser, of aniva ayin, is always something that contains its opposite within itself. Every choice contains within itself the decision that we didn't choose at the same point, because the decision is illuminated by the decision not to choose that thing. This is true in language as it is in every moment. Every word that we speak is ultimately the choice of that word, and also the choice not to engage in every other word that I'm speaking. And therefore, every word that I carry carries the entirety of language. So too, every decision carries all infinite possibilities of decidability and undecidability, and it brings me not to a place of scarcity, but rather to a place of fullness, of saturation, of or ein soif mamish, of the kavyachol expression of everything being there present at once prior to the descent into practicality. That's the place of suffik. And as a result of everything coming from that place of infinitude, of reshit lo asyada, of the unknowability, because everything is always present at once, or in the language of the Leshem Shemova Chaloma, Hakol Hu Bakol, where the fact that Rabbi Nachman says that when a person goes up to that place of mati v'loy mati, the neshama, the ruach, and the nefesh have no ability to grasp anything, that bilbul hadas comes about, that's the v'nahapechu, that's the place of emuna. And that's how we're mamtik amalik. Down here, that feels like a difficult existential position to be in. Up there, there, it's the orientation that I don't need to know with certainty anything because it's so certain. Havade shemo kenti laso. Every possibility of experience is exactly where I'm going to find the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Suffik is the orientation towards sipuk, histapkus, as Rav Kook points out, satisfaction. Because the only possibility of satisfaction comes about when I allow myself to realize that I'll never know with certainty, and therefore I have to choose to find what it is in front of me at this moment. And through this, I'm going to be yoytze min asafik. As the Kashan Tzur Magid says, aselecha rav v'tesalik min asafik. It doesn't mean make for yourself a tzaddik and then remove yourself from doubt. But it rather means if you connect yourself to the das of Moshe Rabbeinu, which also is lo yada, which also doesn't know, and also operates from that place of emuna, which is l'mal mitam v'das. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who tells us that we don't know. It's a suffik whether he's above or he's below. It's a suffik, and therefore he's in between these places of mibein shnei akruvim. And like Moshe Rabbeinu, we're mistapik. We allow ourselves to be besuffik. And in that place, al yedei aveh, you want to find siluk from this world. You want to remove yourself from the quandaries of this worldliness and remove yourself from the bilbul hadas and the confusion. Min hasafik, utilize safik, utilize the light of safik of the sugyas of reshit lo asyada, as the Rebbe points out, or Rav Mordechai Sharabi pointed out, that to be mamtik the dinim of a malik, to be moiche on a malik, we have to learn the sugyas of reshit lo asyada, the sveikos of reshit lo asyada, because in this place the thirst is the satisfaction, and in this place the not knowing is the place where being okay is going to come from. And it's going to allow me to perpetually climb higher and higher and higher to the place of Ein Simcha Katarsa Svechos, like we say. We're not getting rid of suffik. We're learning to live with suffik itself. We're making room. The entire light of Purim is about making room for suffik. The entire light of other is reshit lo asyada, reshit tevos, reshit lo asyada. The entire reality of other is not knowing this, that, especially when it's an other rishon or an other sheni. There's doubts abound. And every doubt is an opportunity to find histapkus, to find satisfaction. The entire concept of the milchama against Amalek is machar. Tomorrow, go out and fight against Amalek. And Chazal say it's one of the psukim that don't have clarity. Even in Torah Shebichsav, there's a place of suffix, and it says that it's not clear whether today I'm going to fight Amalek or today I do this and tomorrow I'm going to fight Amalek. And machar is the secret of ein lahem hachra. It's not clear. Tomorrow is the biggest source of doubt. What's going to be next? Without certainty, a person loses their mind. And what Esther Amalka asks for is tinasim gam machar. The secret is that through Purim, I don't want to get rid of suffix and Haman and Amalek. I don't want to destroy Amalek. I want to take their house. I want to take their binyan. I want to bring Safik into the Torah itself and the sugyos of Safik and Sveik Sveika to be Megala more and more Amunah and Be'ezras Hashem to transform the Nahar Ulai of Shushan Abira and that concealment and that anxiety of the Ilana de Sveika and to elevate it back up to the place of the Safik HaElyon of the Vadei Shemo Ken Tehillah, so the secret of Vayivarech David es Hashem, that David lived in Safek and he transformed that Safek into certainty simply through the light of Derech Amunah Becharti Be'ezras Hashem, which is the secret of the mitos al Sveikos in their Shoresh.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.